Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way,
that I can keep my way pure
is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Good morning again. Good morning. Welcome to the Marketplace Movement, where we reach, enhance, and advance lives. And we mean that. It's not just a slogan. It's not just a quote. It's who we are. We really are trying to create an environment that's real by reaching, enhancing, and advancing lives. It is an honor to stand here. This is the time of the year where Bishop normally takes his time away to just step back and go before the Lord to get direction for the next season that we're supposed to be going. We're coming up on Advent season, and we're anticipating. And when you're anticipating, you're either anticipating for a location of where you're going next, you're anticipating on what you're going to receive, but this is a time of anticipation, so as Bishop goes before the Lord on our behalf, we anticipate what he's going to bring back for us and where we're going, the next direction. We've been in our week of, can you turn me down a little bit? We've been in our series Grow for a while now. And some of us have really grown. Some of us has fought the growth. Some of us, we've been stretched when we didn't want to be stretched. We've been pulled when we didn't want to be pulled. I know for myself personally, I was like, man, I've never had to teach this much in such a short amount of time. Like, and it's stretching for me because this is what, when God is trying to get you in certain positions, you have to go through a season of uncomfortability. A lot of times we don't want to be comfortable. I mean, we don't want to be uncomfortable, especially in this Western world where being a Christian is comfortable for us. But in other parts of the country where if you profess Christianity, they'll kill you or they'll torture you. But if you really want to go to next levels in God, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be stretched. You have to be willing to be pulled. You have to be willing because if there's no growth, if there's no pull, you're not going to achieve what God has for you. We've been, the last time I preached, I think we were in the time part. We started off this series about seed, time, and harvest. The seed part was you have to be intentional about what you plant. The time, you had to, what are you doing while the seed is in the ground? How are you preparing for the next part? You can't just be sitting there, you know, twiddling your thumbs around while the seed is in the ground because the seed is going to eventually grow. And if you're not doing something positive with that time and you're not doing training during that time, will you be ready for the seed once it grows? Will you be ready for the fruit? A lot of us have planted, but we wasn't ready for what was next because we didn't prepare. When you find out you're pregnant, you have baby showers and stuff like that because you're preparing, you're anticipating what's coming next. It's the same when you put your seed in the ground. We need to start having life showers. Like, okay, I just planted this big seed. I planted this seed in the ground. This is what I want to harvest. This is what I want to come forth. I want to have a life shower because I need some people to help me to pour and prepare for what's coming next. Then now we're at the harvest part. And the harvest part has been pretty rough for some of us because we're realizing that, for one, we're not the Lord of the harvest. so we don't get to choose how we harvest. And we don't get to choose when we harvest. I'm always, this is kind of one of the roughest times of the year because the whole like the daylight savings time and end and all that. And I'm always like intrigued, like, why do we still do this? Because I've heard stories about when it started because you wanted to give the farmers more daylight so that they can harvest their crops. But the advanced machinery that they have now, it's just like they don't even need lights. They don't even need to be in there. They can program it. It'll do it on its own. But it's like we have to be intentional, just like they were about the harvest. There's a time to harvest, but we have to be ready to harvest. And I want to give another shout out to Devin. He talked the other week, and he's blessed me. One thing I love about the market. One thing I love about the market is no matter who stands up here, whether it's a Wednesday or a Sunday, you're going to get the word. Amen. Bishop ain't going to put you up here if he don't believe you're going to get a word. We all got different styles. You know, Devin, he's a little bit more hyper. He's still a rapper and everything. You know, so I tell him all the time, I don't care what you do, just don't flip my mics. Don't flip that. We're not flipping mics for Jesus today. So he get up here. I know he be one. So I'm glad we got these because he can't take this part off and throw it up in the air. If he could, he would because that's just Devin's style. But he going to do it for Jesus, and he going to make sure you get the word. But he was talking about the big people. The exaggerated big people. He talked about the seasoned people, too. I ain't going to let that go. He called us seasoned because he didn't think we knew what Kim Possible was, who Kim Possible was. But I knew who Kim, I work with kids. I know who Kim Possible was. When he was talking about the spies, he said he always had it in his head when the spies was going out, he was thinking Kim Possible. I'm not too much older than Devin. I was thinking Spy Kids. The movie Spy Kid. That's what these are spies. Like, they got all these intricate little tools and stuff. They ain't have all that. They ain't have all that. The spies were leaders. We're going to get to that. But the part that really blessed me was he was talking about the spies came back and they said, we see giants. All of them are big. All of them are big people. And I'm just like, and the Lord was telling me, he really got me this past week, got me together. He said, some of us, the people in our lives aren't the big people. It's the residue left behind by the people. The residue of the people. The people are gone, but they left behind residue. We've made the residue the big people in our lives. And we can't walk into the promise because we're holding on and we've elevated the residue. What are you trying to say? There's somebody who was important in your life. They either said something to you or they done something, and now they're gone. So they're gone now. But the residue of what they did or what they said is still holding you from walking into the promise. It's still holding you. Something could have happened when you were a kid. And I'm not trying to be, you know, minimize trauma or anything because trauma is real. But the trauma is not bigger than God. The trauma is not bigger than God's power and ability to deliver. The trauma is not bigger than God's ability to heal. But when we elevate the residue, we allow the residue to allow us to be at a standstill. And God is trying to get us into this harvest season, in this harvest season, but we're stuck because of residue. So we need to actually de-elevate the residue, take the residue before God, be healed of the residue so that we can walk into the next season. Yes. The residue has become big in our lives. The residue is what's causing us to say, I will never do this again. Whatever this may be, for some of us, the residue may be, I will never get married again because my last marriage didn't work. The residue has caused you to actually stop wanting and desiring something that God has promised you. Some of you knew beforehand, God already called me to be a wife. God called me to be a husband. But because my last one didn't work and there's residue, and I elevated the residue, I don't want to be that no more. I will never get married again. Some of us, it may be children. You've had a miscarriage, so there's residue. We've elevated that. I don't ever want to go through that pain again, but you know God promised you children. So you elevated the residue in the place of God's potential. And when you put the residue in the place of God's potential, you forget that you can't even harvest now. Because there was something that happened, it doesn't negate the promise. Life will happen. The promise is not null and void because life happened. The promise is not null and void because it didn't go the way you wanted it to go. The promise is not null and void. You are not less of a wife because your marriage didn't work out. You're not less of a husband because it didn't work out. But we have to continue to hold on to the promise and not let the residue stick. Wednesday, Bishop went into another part of this series, and he said, many of us, you know, we've messed up in the harvest. We've completely bombed it. And then when we try to come back, when we realize we've messed up, we try to come back and we try to achieve it the exact same way we were supposed to beforehand. But how many of you know, when you breach a contract, there's contingencies in place. When you want to come back and try to achieve that, you have to do a whole new contract now. There's a whole new contract that's put in place once you breach the old contract. So some of us need to be careful because we're trying to go back into a thing after we've messed that thing up, and God is like, no, you need to do a Control-Alt-Delete, do a hard reset. We need to do some of us need to completely wipe the hard drive and actually reinstall all the software, because the software actually contains bugs now. We got a virus in the software. Because when we try to do a void of God, we open up ourselves to viruses in the software. Now the software itself is all messed up. So we got to get to this place to where we're like, okay, God, I messed up. How do you want me to do this now? I know last time this is what I was supposed to do. I bombed that. I bombed that, God. What did you want me to do now? I don't want to bomb this time. But some of us are too prideful to even ask God, what do you want us to do now? So we'll continue to try to do it the way we were supposed to do it before. God isn't testing our ability to remember. This is what Bishop said. He isn't testing our ability to remember the answers. He's testing our ability to apply principles. Some of us keep on repeating the same test over and over again. And you're like, well, I'm getting the answers right. Because you've placed yourself in a position to where that test is familiar to you. But what if God changes the name on the test? So you wasn't getting along with this person. So you figured out a way to where, you know, I can just speak to them now. I can tolerate them. But what if God brings somebody else with a worse attitude into your presence, and now it don't look like the person who you've trained yourself to speak to? You've trained yourself to actually be able to tolerate this person. But you're in a position now to where this is a new face, someone you've never met. They're applying more pressure, but you didn't learn the principles. You didn't learn that, so now you're about to fail again. Some of us have left jobs over people, went to a new job and found the same person with a different face. Some of us have left relationships, left that relationship because of XYZ. You got to a new relationship. It's the same thing going on with a new person. And you didn't apply the principles. You learned not to take it from that person, but you didn't learn not to take it at all. We got to get to the point to where we're applying the principles don't change no matter who you encounter them with. The principle is going to be the principle whether the person is black, white, Chinese. The principle is the principle. So we have to make sure we're applying the principles to our situation so that we can receive the harvest. His big ideal, and this is where we're going to continue today, his big idea was the grace of the Lord does not limit or nullify the requirements he gives us for the harvest. The grace of the Lord does not limit or nullify the requirements he gives us for the harvest. The harvest of the Lord requires the hand of the Lord. The harvest requires the hand of the Lord. Now, we started this in Numbers 13. Can we go there, please? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. We'll stop there. So he's sending them out to spy out the land. He's like, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the land. But before I give it to you, I need you to send out people so they can bring a report back of what's in the land. Because sometimes God sees things that we don't see. But he'll give you insight to some of them, but he's not going to give you the whole picture. He's going to give you insight. So we see they went and they got a big old cluster of grapes. And this has been bothering me since I taught this or a portion of this a couple months ago. They're like, man, the grapes were so big, they had to carry them on a pole between two people. And when I think of that, I always have that image of like in Hawaii where they do like them big pig roasts and they are on cartoons where they carrying something in between two people so they can put it on a little Spitfire thing and turn it and roast it. So I'm like, okay, God, you got grapes as big as pigs. This is how I'm thinking. You got grapes as big as pigs on the stick about to go to the little fire. And I'm like, nah, this can't be real. So me and my fool self, I go look it up. I want to see what these grapes look like. So I know some of y'all did too. Y'all didn't look it up, but that's okay. We're going to all see it together. Go to that picture for y'all know I like visuals. Look at that. This is one cluster of grapes. One cluster. If you look them up, it's actually called a Caleb grape. They're called Caleb grapes. I didn't know that. I'm like, okay. I see the parallels between the text, and these are called Caleb grapes. There's a couple more on here. This is one cluster of grapes. That's a cluster of, I'm like, man, those are some big old grapes. I see why they had to carry it on a stick like that. I got one more. That's a lot of grapes. That's a huge thing of grapes. And then it made me think even more. When the spies went, and this is what they captured, you know, they could have been bigger. They captured something that big while the people were there. While the big people were there. They captured something that big. If you're at home and somebody comes in your house and is taking out something, you know how much commotion it takes to harvest something that big? It takes so much commotion. If somebody's trying to carry something, you got to cut it down. These people are there while they're cutting this big old thing of grapes down. And they didn't even see them. But when they came back, only one person was able to talk about, we can take it. The spies was helping carry this big thing of grapes. They were there. They infiltrated the ops. Look, I work at a daycare. There's always kids talking about their ops. They infiltrated the ops and stole their grapes. And they didn't get seen. No matter how much commotion it took to get that, they didn't get seen. They didn't. It was like everybody should have been like, man, we got these big old grapes and they didn't even see us. We can sneak up on them real easy. But it was only one person like, let's do it. And then the other spies, they came back and they gave a bad report based on what they exaggerated in their own minds. But you got to understand, they were leaders. They were leaders. So the people hearing this from the leader, Caleb was the minority, because it was more people speaking negative than was speaking good. You have to be willing in the face of adversity to stand on what the Lord told you. It's not going to always be easy when you got all these people around you saying something contrary to what God is telling you. But Caleb stood there. He stood firm. Like, no, we can do this. So the people got they believed their bad report. So write this down. Be careful who you receive a word from concerning the promise on your life. Be careful who you receive a word from concerning the promise on your life. One of the biggest things that completely stops us from walking in the promise of God is when we receive a contradictory word from someone of importance. There are some people that God has placed in our lives for leadership purposes. You know, we may have our parents, we have our professors, especially in this day and age where you can go to school, like seminary, and they really don't have to believe in Jesus. You can go, I know, it's like I'm sitting there and I have friends. Like, you went to school for, you know, African American studies, but you're teaching music. Right. Like, you went to school for music, but you're teaching math. It's like, you don't even have to be, you know, vetted in what you believe to teach something now. You just have to have the credentials. So we have people who are leaders, and a lot of us are clinging, or we're flocking to them. We're flocking to them, and they're telling us things that's contradicting what the Lord is telling us. And you're halting in your positioning because of what they said. Write this down. We need to stop trying to validate the sacred by carnal standards and expecting a godly outcome. We need to stop trying to validate the sacred by carnal standards and expecting a godly outcome. What do you mean? When you receive a word from God, you try to check it according to your horoscope. I be seeing so much stuff now about people's horoscopes. I'm just like, this is like this new thing. Everybody is on horoscopes now. I'm just like, what does this even mean? They find out, like, you're a Gemini. You got a split personality. What? If I make you mad, you're not going to act the same way you act now either. Are you a Gemini? And it bothers me a lot because a lot of people, if you know my dad, Deacon Sanders right there, me and my dad, we're actually very similar. He was born in September. I was born in June. We are not the same sign. We're putting so much stock in signs and not in trainings. We're putting so much stock in signs and not in what God has called you to do. We put more stock in the zodiac sign than God delivering you. We're tying attributes because they said a zodiac sign is supposed to be this way. You're supposed to act this way. But what if God delivered you? Are you still going to run that by the filter of your zodiac sign? We have to stop trying to validate the sacred by carnal means. God is trying to give you something. You want to run it by your sign. You want to, oh, that don't apply to me because I'm a Capricorn, and Capricorns, we don't do that type of stuff. And God is like, I just told you to love. I just told you to forgive. Y'all don't love, y'all don't forgive. You know, I'm a Scorpio, and we mean, what? Didn't God tell you to just be free? And be free indeed. You don't have to be mean no more. You allow someone who completely blew their promise to strike fear or deter you from walking in yours. This is the running the carnal, running the sacred by the carnal means. So God comes and tells you, I want you to do this. I'm calling you to this. You go have a conversation with somebody who is not even walking in their calling. God told them to do something, but they ain't doing that. You go have a conversation with them. After the conversation with them, you forgot what God told you to do. Or you didn't forget. Now you don't want to do it because they done talked you out of it. They've talked you out of theirs, out of yours, because they're not doing theirs. You allow someone who don't even know God to talk you out of walking in his promise. We do this a lot in relationships. We'll get in a relationship with somebody, and God is calling us to do a certain thing. And we know that that thing requires us to be in here, us to get trained, us to get taught. But now, before you got with this person or before you connected with this person, you was on fire for Jesus. I mean, you was in your word every day. You was coming to church. You was being involved in small groups. You know, you was coming down here, and you was really participating in the worship service. Now you done connected with somebody who don't even go to church. They don't even go. You miss more church than they go to. You miss more than they even come. And you allow them to forfeit, to allow you to forfeit walking in the promise, because the promise is not where they're at. See, we can't get a promise from God and then evacuate and leave God where he is. God is like, no. If I give you the promise, part of that promise is my provisions. Those provisions is under me. Let's go to Numbers 13, 31. We're going to start at 31. And this is still under my point. Be careful who you receive a word from concerning the promise on your life. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying out, it is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of giant size. So these are the people who God has given the promise to all of them. I'm going to take you through. But they're receiving this word from these people, and these people just exaggerating. Numbers 30, and we start go to 36. This is what happens to them. As far as the men who Moses sent out to spy out the land, and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord. So we're trusting people who are actually going to die because they're not even doing what they're supposed to do. We're trusting people who's not even actively involved with God. What Caleb remembered versus the people, Caleb remembered the history of what God had brought them from. Some of us need to remember our history. I know we have selective remembering now. We want to be selective on what we want to remember all the highlights. But some of y'all need to remember the lowest points of your life. And you need to remember how you came from the lowest point of your life. Some of you are in the lowest point right now, and you're just trying to get over it so you can forget about it. But don't try to forget about it. Use it as fuel to prepare you into your calling. Use it as fuel to prepare you into your promise. We don't need to get amnesia when it comes to the things that God has brought us through. Write this down. And we almost done. I'm not even going to be up here long. I'm going to say what the Lord told me to say, and I'm going to sit down. We're going to go home. We're going to watch the Bengals. We must be willing to disconnect from people who no longer are in alignment with the promises of God. We must be willing to disconnect from people who no longer are in alignment with the promises of God. For some of us, where God is trying to take you, you can't take some of your old friends. For some of us, it's like when you get married. When you get married, there are certain things and places you can't do no more. There's places you can't go like you used to go with your old friends.
That's right.
There are some things that you just can't engage in no more. When I was in this level, it was cool. But now I'm over here and I'm trying to walk in promise. I have a new set of boundaries around me. But some of us don't like boundaries, so we want to connect to the people that keep us bound in our old lifestyle. Everyone who starts a journey isn't destined to end with you. Just because we started this thing together don't mean you part of the whole promise with me. Just because, you know, we all got saved together don't mean that you're still part of my promise. Because just because we're doing it together don't mean you're still in alignment. There's too many times where we're holding on because of our history. We're holding on because the history that we had with people. Oh, they had my back. They held me down. These people, they were my friends. When nobody else had my back when I was out there, they held me down. Okay, now you're living under God. You cannot continue to treat them the same way you did when you were hanging with them. Because they're going to pull you back to what you got freed from. If you're not influencing them, they're influencing you. You see this a lot when it comes to, like, you know, men go to jail. One thing a lot of them do, they become part of the Nation of Islam. And then they get out, and they no longer are under that same structure. And then they come in here, and they want that brotherhood that they had when they were in there. And we don't, because we're not under that same mindset as them, you know, we don't give them what they feel like they need. And a lot of them, they keep those old connections from when they were back there. So when we're not giving them what they need in here, they result back to what they got when they was together with them. You see it with a lot of them when they get out, or they go back to their old lifestyles. You have to actually be willing to disconnect, because when you're on a new trajectory, you can't allow old things to stop your progress. It's a lot of times, like, I remember having conversations with Bishop, and we've been rocking for a long time. And he'll say things like, man, I can't be common with everybody. And this is weird, because you'll hardly ever know Bishop is part of a frat. It's like, you got to catch him at the right time when the right song come on. But outside of that, you don't see him wearing frat paraphernalia. You know, you don't see him throwing up a sign all the time. You got some people that put more stock in these frats than they do in Jesus. I mean, I'm sitting here like, it's new people, like, dang, everybody's all of a sudden becoming in a fraternity now. These are people in the church, and they're trying to actually connect with something outside of God. Like, this is a new destination that you're on. Why are you still trying to build these old secular relationships? Don't forfeit what God has for you because you don't want to let go. I always say, in order for you to actually receive what God has for you, you have to actually open your hands to receive it. You can't hold on. A lot of us are killing ourselves because we're holding a knife and we're sitting here bleeding, and you want to be healed, but you can't be healed long as you're holding on to the knife. So you're sitting here. Eventually, your body will adapt to the pain, and it don't feel as painful. And it's going to hurt when you actually open your hand to release the knife. So it's going to hurt when you're losing friends. But you have to understand what God has in place is better than what you're going to leave behind. When you don't trust what God has in store, you won't be willing to lose what you already have. When you don't trust the potential that God has, you'll try to hold on to everything that you have right now. A lot of us are control freaks. We're control freaks. We don't fully see, or we don't fully know the next picture. We don't know the next scene of our lives, so we're going to try to hold on to what's comfortable, other than completely opening ourselves up to what God has for us. It's the same with people. We'll keep a relationship because we don't want to see what's new. You're scared to walk into what's new. Sometimes you have to step aside and watch people walk into their destruction. It's not your job to save everybody. It's not your job to save anybody. God does the saving. Some of us are trying to hold on to people. It's like you're on the right track and you see them drowning, but they choose to keep getting in the water and not knowing how to swim. You can't keep jumping in there trying to pull them out because a struggling person is going to pull you too. You ever seen somebody drowning? They will do everything in their power to not drown, include take you down and try to climb up you. If God didn't call you to do that, to continue ministering to them, you have to leave them be. You have to step aside and watch, because some of them, they need to hit the ground. They need to slap that floor. They need to, because that's going to be the thing that actually causes them to get on God's track. If some of us, if God allowed people to stop some of us from bumping our head, we wouldn't have never got tired and really followed God. Some of us had to hit rock bottom. Some of us had to be ashamed. Some of us had to have them nights where we just cried and we couldn't call on nobody. Because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have never started trusting God like we do now. Let's go. We're going to go to Numbers 13 and 30. We must be willing to disconnect. 13 and 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Let's jump to Numbers 14 and 4. We're going to jump around. We're going to see a pattern. So we got Caleb trying to quiet the people, to continue to tell them, okay, we can do this. Numbers 14, start at verse 4. So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into that land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But all the congregation said to stone them with the stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the tent of meetings to all the sons of Israel. Jump down to 19. "Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your loving kindness. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, the Lord pardons and rebukes. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." Got one more I'm going to go to. I got two more. Jump to 39. I'm painting my picture. "When Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. In the morning, however, they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, 'Here we are. We have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised.' But Moses said, 'Why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up, or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you.'" Let's jump to 44. "But they went up heedlessly." So you got Moses and you got Caleb trying to intercede and block them, like, come on, don't do it. At first they were saying, "We can do it. We can do it if we do it God's way. If God, we're in his favor." They didn't want to hear all that. So now, then you got Moses interceding so God don't just destroy him. And on Moses' behalf, God didn't destroy him. Then Moses tell them, don't go. God is not with you. God is not on you right now. You're going to die. You going to get your behind whooped. This sounds like some of us, we're trying to intercede and we're trying to tell people, don't do it. Danger, Robin. Stop. You're about to fall in the hole. You're about to mess up. You're about to destroy yourself. You're about to destroy your family. But they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill. Neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. But you know who didn't go when they went? Moses and Caleb. Moses and Caleb was like, nah, all right, it's time for us to disconnect. We're going to go ahead. We done tried to warn y'all. You was not my project anymore. You go ahead. You get your behind whooped. We're going to sit here. We're going to be safe, and we're going to walk into the promise of God ourselves. That's how we need to be. We need to get to the point to where, okay, I'm tired. I can't keep warning you anymore. I can't make it more clear. You're continuing to walk down this path where you know God ain't there. You continue. You continue to live this lifestyle where you know God is not a part of it. You continue to live a way where you know God's hand can't be on you. Because there are some things that you can do. God can't cover you because light and darkness can't abide in the same spot. You can't keep walking in darkness and think you're being covered by God. Just because you've been this strong grace and mercy don't mean God's hand is still over you. A lot of us we're confusing God's grace and mercy with his hand. The grace and mercy is he's not allowing it, but his hand is not on you. We got to get to this place to where we stop trying to be so connected. We stop trying to be so buddy-buddy with people that we'll walk with them when we see them walking contrary to the will of God. Moses and Caleb, they stayed behind and they let them go. And what happened to them is exactly what Moses said was going to happen. Write this down. This is my last point. I told you, we're going to get to watch the pregame. If y'all got food, some of y'all could have put y'all food on the timer. You know, you can have your stove start at a certain time, end at a certain time. We don't have that luxury no more. We ain't got nothing in the stove, but some of y'all don't have that luxury either. So some of y'all done started y'all pot roast. It's going to be good and ready by the time you ain't got to worry about it drying out. Y'all going to be able to go home, you know, add a little bit more water to it, some your carrots and your potatoes and all that, you know, so they can get a little tender too. So write this down. You cannot walk into the promise of God without the covering of God. You cannot walk into the promise of God without the covering of God. Numbers 14 and 41. It says, but Moses said to them, why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? 42, do not go up or you will be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. You can't walk into God's thing without God. There's too many of us trying to do a godly thing without God. It's too many of us. I can't access my father's house. I have a key to my dad's house. I have the key to his house because of my relationship with him. I have a key. I have access to his house because of our relationship. I have access because I've made myself a good son. Yeah, there were things that he's done when I was growing up. Some of them I'm like, ugh, I don't like that. It don't matter. That's my dad. There are some things that God may do that you may not like. There are some things that God will call you to do that you're not going to like. One thing I had to get over is that I was going to always love the call of God.
Yeah.
I was always going to love what he wanted me to do. I had to get over that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still getting over it. I'm still getting over it. There's some things that he tells me to do. I don't like it. I can guarantee you, Jesus didn't like the cross. Jesus didn't like the cross. It was necessary. When God is calling you to do something, it's not for your likes. It's for his glory. Let's stop always trying to equate, you know, my calling is always going to be what I like. No, it's not. God is not going to always call you to people you like. God is not always going to have you do things that you like to do. I say this often. This is not what I like. I don't like speaking in front of large amounts of people. But one thing about it, God will grace you and cover you to do what he called you to do. It's funny because every time I preach or every time I teach, people come up and be like, man, it's so natural. You did so well. And I'm like, y'all just don't understand. Sometimes in my heart, it be feeling like the little duck. When the duck is in the water, and the duck be all calm on top of the water, but under the water, his feet is like... The duck's feet is going crazy fast. I'm like, y'all don't understand. I be nervous when I do this, but it comes off natural because I allow God to just take over and do what he wanted to do. It's not about me. It's not about me. I'm making myself a vessel to be used. And that's what we got to get to the point to where you're going to make yourself a vessel to be used, but you can't be used if you're not going to stay under. You can't walk into that promise without them. I can go to YouTube and figure out all types of ways to not be nervous when I have to talk to people. I can take all these classes, but at the end of the day, that doesn't matter if I don't go to God and be like, okay, God, you called me to do this again. I need you to do this with me. I don't want to do this void of you. I can't be effective void of God. I can't be, you know, and it's like, it's so easy to get caught up on what people are telling you. Oh, this was good, rah, 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 rah. Ah, the crowd goes wild. But no, God, I want you to be pleased. It's so easy to get caught up on the people. And you can completely miss God. At the end of the day, it's not about what you all say to me. At the end of the day, it's about, okay, God, did I say everything you wanted me to say? Did I say anything that I said out of my own flesh that I need to go back and fix? God, am I staying under you, God? My wife, she'll tell you. I'll be sitting there at home. I'm like, she's like, how you doing, babe? And it's even harder when the words that I have to say are harder. Everybody, oh, you about to come for us today. I don't take them as coming for y'all. I just take it as this is what the Lord told me to say. If it's a haymaker and it hits you in the head, that's between you and Jesus. I'm just doing what he told me to do. I'm going to do what he told me to do. And then the weeks I ain't got to do it, I'm going to sit over there on the drums and I'm going to play my little 1, 2, 3, 4. And when Brittany changed the song, we're going to go wherever Brittany going. If my wife is leading, we're going with her. But even that, I have to do that under him. Because what if, you know, there's somebody who saw me playing, so they come to talk to me after church, because they're like, I see something about you. Then my call doesn't leave me because I'm playing the drums. My call doesn't leave because now I'm doing something I love. My call doesn't change. So I still have to be able to operate in my call. And I still have to be efficient in my call. I still have to be able to stand here and stand before you and be like, okay, this is what thus said the Lord. But I can't do that if I go outside of his covering. I can't walk in the promise without the covering of God. When you try to bypass God, you bypass all his provisions. See, some of us think, okay, if God tell me to, you know, go start this business, and I decide not to start the business, that I'm only not being covered for the business. No. When you're walking outside of God, you're walking completely outside of God. So if I'm not doing what he told me to do, it's not just the business that I'm not being provided for. His hand is not on me, period. We have to stop thinking that, you know, God operates in boxes. God blesses me in other areas of my life because I'm willing to walk up under him and do what he wants me to do according to his calling and his purpose. What, write this down as well. God designed the manual and the playbook to achieve the promise. God designed the manual and the playbook to achieve the promise. Many of us are trying to do something void of the one who created the playbook for it. We get a taste of success, and we think success is the promise. Success is not the promise. The promise isn't the taste. They could have got the grapes and just been cool with just those big grapes. You know, that's a lot of grapes. That could have fed them for a while. They could have made a lot of wine out of those grapes. They could have made a lot. But that wasn't the promise. That was part. That was a taste. That was a taste. A lot of us are getting the taste confused with the promise. God may call you to start a business, I wanted to start a food truck a while ago. It may still be in the works, but that's what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to do it. But some of us say God tells you to start a restaurant. So you do a pop-up. You post it on social media. Hey, I'm going to be selling dinners at this time, at this place. First come, first serve. Your pop-up is amazing. You got a taste. You got a taste. Okay, you have a taste of success. You have a taste of the promise. But the promise may be a full restaurant. But you settle because you see the taste and the restaurant is this far apart. So you get the taste and you be like, okay. You get excited about the taste. Everything went good. But then you see, oh, I need this money. I need this building. Then you start looking into commercial equipment, commercial kitchen equipment. Ooh, a refrigerator. That refrigerator costs a few thousand dollars. This ain't no regular home refrigerator. This is a commercial stainless steel refrigerator. Then you start counting all that cost up. You're like, ooh, nah, I'm not going to do the restaurant now. I'm going to just settle. But if you actually are walking in the full call, the provisions will be there to help you get to the restaurant. When God designed it, he's going to give you each step. Each step. We can't try to bypass God and go around that. Yeah. When you bypass God, especially when God is trying to tell you to do something, you end up finding yourself in so much debt and stuff. If God is telling you to, you know, to start something, you don't want to go through God to do it, so you try to do it your own means. Well. You try to go to a bank. You try to borrow money from different people. And God is like, if you just stay on a trajectory, I'll have somebody sow it into you. But instead, you wanted to go your own way. Now, you got this high interest rate loan because right now the interest rate is crazy. The interest rate is horrible. But you tried to bypass me when all I told you to do was just tell people the vision, tell people the promise. Repentance is necessary to get back in alignment and get the new playbook. Repentance is necessary to get back in alignment to get the new playbook. We started off saying how because you messed it up, it doesn't mean you're not going to get the promise. There's just a new set of rules that you're going to have to go through. We look at Numbers 14 at 39. It says, when Moses spoke these words, all the sons of Israel, the people mourned. So they were sad. But then the next step is said, in the morning, however, they got up. If they truly repented, that mourning would have turned into changed behavior. That crying would have turned into, okay, you right, Moses, we about to just sit down and figure this thing out. Because if we can get back before the Lord, maybe he can give us our new trajectory. Yeah, we messed it up when Caleb was trying to help us. But we don't have to stay in this messed up position. Right. Repentance will actually bring you back around so you can have another chance to get it right. Amen. But when you don't want to repent, you just want to cry and still do what you want to do, right, you're going to get killed. That's how many of us has been. God is telling us to do something. We didn't do it. And we cried about it. Yeah. And then tried to get up and do it like God didn't say, hold on. God told you to do something. You said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you, God. I don't believe you told me to do that. But somebody else, you see them preparing to do what God told you to do. And all of a sudden, you want to jump right in. But you can't be playing double dutch with this. Just because they had the discipline to do what God told them to do, now you got to start back over. You got to start back over with the top. Okay, God, what is it you want me to do now? I'm listening this time. I'm listening. And don't do it because you see somebody else doing it. Doing it because you want God to do what God wants to do in your life. I don't stand up here and do this because I see Devin doing it on Wednesdays and he's doing a good job. I see people saying, oh, Devin, you did great. Or Bishop, man, Bishop is an amazing preacher. And I want to all of a sudden stand up here and start teaching because Bishop is good. Hey, no, I have to do this because God told me to. And then when I had those times where I said no, because I don't believe this is what you told me to do, God had to get me together. I had to go through my crying time too. Then I had to get up and be like, okay, Lord, I yield. You win. You win, God. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Let's get this thing rolled. I'm going to stop complaining, Jesus. I used to complain so much when I had to do this. My friends would be like, yeah, we can tell you got to preach because you ain't stopped talking about it since. This past time, Melita was like, I didn't even know you had to preach. I didn't even know. And my wife, she said, I think you're starting to grow and finally accept what the Lord told you. I said, yeah.
Thank you.
She said, I'm like, because no matter if I mean, I want God to be glorified.
Yeah.
So I had to stop. I had to get outside of myself. I had to get outside of myself and get under him because there's a lot that God wants me to do, but you got to be willing.
Thank you, Jesus.
You got to be willing. Then you got to actually understand, if you want me to do it, you have to make it possible for me to do. It's not in my abilities. It's not me. He makes it possible. I'm not looking for opportunities to do it. I'm looking for opportunities to be used. I'm not looking for, okay, God, I'm about to go do this. No, I'm just available for when you tell me to go. It's like being on a team. Yeah, you want to play, you know, because you think you LeBron or whatever. But sometimes you ain't. Sometimes you just a good go in there, draw the foul, go sit back down. Well, okay. Do you want me to hit him real hard? You want to be a flagrant foul? You want to just be a regular foul? I just need you to go ahead and draw this foul because the people on that's playing hard, they can't get no more fouls. We need them on the court. Okay, let me go bump them right quick, Jesus. I'm going to go sit back down. But that's how we need to be. Okay, God, what you want me to do? Okay, where you want me to do it at? You want me to do this Sunday? Okay, I got this Sunday. I'm going to go back and sit down after that. I tease Devin all the time. I was teaching him Wednesday. The Wednesday he's smiling, man, you did good, man. You know, if you want to practice in the Cassock, you can have my Sunday. We just be joking. I'm not about to give it to him. We be joking. Devin's like, nah, dog, you got it. You got it, big bro. I ain't called to do it that day. And he's right. He wasn't called to do it this day. It wasn't his time. You know, there's been plenty of times where Devin gets sent on other assignments. That's not my assignment. I'm not about to do it that way because I'm not covered to do it that way. I'm covered to do it how he told me to do it. We have to get to the point to where we do what he told, what he tells us so that we can operate under his covering. We have to do a God thing God's way. My dad, he's a licensed plumber. I grew up, my dad was, he took me on different jobs with him. I still don't have the abilities that he has to do said jobs. So when he tells me, this is how you do it, you hold your pliers this way. And it's different for me and him because he's a lefty, but he does a lot of stuff with his right. I do everything from a right-hand perspective. So he's always like, hold your pliers this way. And I'm like, it don't feel comfortable holding that way. I'm going to hold it the way it feel comfortable. Well, you're doing it wrong. Okay, well, let me turn my pliers around then because I need to do it how the expert is telling me how to do it. I can't do it the way I want. This has made him a living. Why wouldn't I listen? He can write the playbook. God made the playbook. God made the call. Why wouldn't I listen to him? We got to put ourselves in a posture where we're fully persuaded, okay, God, if this is what you said, and you give me the clear and precise direction, because God is very clear and very precise. He doesn't leave any gray areas. He's very specific. If you give me these specific instructions, I need to do it that way. If you tell me to take 5 steps and stop, I'm going to take 5 steps and stop until you tell me the next set of directions.
That's right.
This past Wednesday, Bishop had left us with these points, and I want to leave us with these again. The people, they went up without a promise. They went up without a promise. They went up without the ark. So they went up without the presence of the Lord. They went up without a promise. They went up without the presence. Then they went without a leader. Because the leader was smart enough to know, if I'm leading and you're doing it wrong, I'm not going to follow you in that ditch because I still have more people to lead. Just because you don't do what God tells you to do, or what the Lord is speaking to the leader and telling you to do, it doesn't stop him from still having to lead. You messed up. That's between you and God. So they went without a promise. They went without the presence of the Lord. And they went without a leader. How are you going about doing what the Lord tells you to do? How are you going about it? Do you still have the promise? Is the promise still in sight? Do you still have the presence of the Lord? Do you still have the covering? Are you still under leadership? Are you still under the leadership? Everybody raise your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, forgive us for trying to do this thing without you. Forgive us for trying to harvest in the way you didn't tell us to harvest. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to bypass you to your stuff. Lord, allow our hearts to just desire you more than what you have. Because, Lord, we know wherever you are, that's everything that you contain is there too. Lord, I ask that you would just touch the hearts of your people. If there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you, who wants to get in alignment to even get the promise on their life. Because, Lord, we know if we're not under you, there's no promise over us. So, God, we want to get up under you so that we can get our marching orders. Lord, give them the strength to come down now. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for for not taking us out when we ignored you. God, we thank you for not destroying us when we walked when you told us not to. God, we thank you for not destroying us when you placed leaders in our lives, Lord Jesus, who tried to look out for us, but we ignored them. God, we love you. Lord, make us right. Lord, make us acceptable in your sight. God, we want your approval more than the approval of people. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.